For God so loved the world. There's a beauty in that, right? God, the Creator, the ultimate supreme being, loved us, the world. And there's a problem with the use of the word world. Not that it was written, but in how we understand the use of the word world. Because many of us say, yeah, God loves the world. He loves like everybody. He's got to love you guys. You're amazing. But me? See, I know who I am. I know what a mess up I am. You say, oh, he's a pastor. He's got to be all right. And I look at you sitting here in the congregation, and I say, you're sitting here, you must be amazing people. Hearts for God, I've heard you sing. I've seen the expression on your face. I've heard many of you pray. I've seen you guys love Jesus Christ. You must be amazing people. Absolutely. God is love. But how, when we read that God is love, do we accept that? See, that's the first problem with for God to love the world. That often, I'm not saying all of you or that we do it all the time, but often we forget that God loves me. And you really need to do that once in a while. There's nothing wrong with that. You can take that pointy finger of whichever hand you got, and you can say, God loves me. He does. He loves you individually, not just collectively. And think about it. The whole story is about God's redemption of creation in the world, but He works with individuals. When God created, look at the Genesis, I believe, 3 story. I love it because all of creation is, and God spoke, and there it was. I'm a firm believer in the Big Bang theory. You know why? Because God spoke and said, let there be light, and bang, there was. I believe in the Big Bang. If you apply it that way. But every aspect of creation is God spoke and it was. And then you get to chapter 3. And God said, let us, a collective, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, said, let us together make man in our own image. There was a discussion there. Some thought involved. And what does the story tell us? I love this image. It says God took the dirt from the earth. So, and this is no disrespect to God, but it's an image I have in my head. Because I was a kid and I played in the dirt. Maybe kids don't do that too much anymore. But do you remember getting down in the dirt? And you know, making stuff and making, oh, that's a hill and oh, this is that. And God got down and He took the dirt of the earth and He molded man. He actively got involved and created man in His own image, in His own likeness. Male and female, He created them. And what did He do? It wasn't just enough that He got down in the dirt and molded us. First case of CPR. What did He do? He leaned in and He breathed His breath of life into His creation and it came alive. You and I carry the very life breath of God within us. That's pretty intimate. That's the most intimate act of creation. very detailed, very entwined. That's how much God loves you. He got down on His hands and knees and molded you. And when He molded Maureen, He said, I'm going to make these fingers so that they can play keyboards in my house and bless my congregation. And Tula, this woman, I'm going to give a golden voice. You see, so, and not only that, I'm going to give her the nerve to stand up in front of people. That's a gift in itself. And lead in worship. And He said, I'm going to give this person that, and I'm going to make that person just a little different. I'm going to make this one blonde. I'm going to give you hair, and I'm going to take it away from her. I get you, man. Doesn't seem fair when I see a beautiful... Well, you know, each to their own, right? And He created us. He says, when you were still in your mother's womb, I knit you together. That's what David says in the Psalms. He knit me together. Pearl one cross. Oh, made a mistake. Pull that out. Have you watched people knit? Some people, I've seen some people just, they're talking away and they can knit. I can't knit with instructions and help. And yet God knit us together in her mother's womb. And He knew us. And the plans He had for us before we were even born. He knew how He was going to bless us and keep us. And the challenges that we would face. And how we would walk with Him. And how we would disappoint Him. And He still created us. Because God loves you. And God loves me. While we were yet sinners. You see, God did not wait for us to get our act together. He didn't wait until we were in a relationship with Him and loved Him and got to know Him and were all good. He didn't wait till we were baptized. He didn't wait till we made this profound proclamation. Jesus is Lord of my life. He didn't wait for any of that. He said, I love you so much. I'm coming now. While you are yet a sinner, while you are unworthy, while you are yet powerless, while you cannot approach me, I'm going to come. I'm going to give my life. I'm going to pay the debt and set you free. Free to join back with me in this beautiful relationship I created you for. That's the good part of the message. Now comes the tough part. See, there's a second part to this that is hard for me to bring. Now, luckily, I'm a visiting pastor, so if you kick me out, not too much lost, right? This is hard for me to bring. And if the shoe fits, wear it. Okay? I don't know you well enough to say, this is for you, Jack. You listen to this second part. It's not. And I don't mean to... It's for all of us, and I include we. I use we as much as possible. It's for all of us. This is my disclaimer, my warning. I do not mean to offend you, but this is truth. As much as God loved you and you and you and you and you and me, He also loves every single person outside of this building. That means He loves the alcoholic. You know, the guy that lives just down the street, three doors down with the two little kids that are hardly out of diapers yet. And his wife walks around with glasses all the time and lots of makeup because he beats her. Because he's a real jerk. And we don't like him. God loves him. God created him in God's own image. God laid His son's life on the line for that miserable alcoholic. And do you know that drug dealer? Not just the one that uses, but the guy that deals, that hangs out at the high schools just around the corner pushing his drugs. God God loves him. God got on his knees and molded that drug dealer's body and breathed his own breath of life and created wonderful possibilities for this person that rejected him and is now sowing so much pain in our society. God loves that person. And you can go on and on. There's a lot of people we don't necessarily like. Are you with me on that? I'm very uncomfortable with a lot of people out there. They're weird. They got webbed feet. Whatever webbed feet stands for in your life, but you're with me on that. I'm no different than you, right? We're all in this together, right? There are people that we are uncomfortable with. We say, oh yeah, God loves the world. But I don't like... It's that person in class that's a real pain in the... You have people in class that are like real... I don't know what word you're allowed to use in church. Probably shouldn't be the same, any different than the word we use out there. But we know people in class that... Well, bullies. They're jerks. They're not nice people. We know people at work. They're just not nice people. I have trouble loving not nice people. And yet we light this wonderful Advent candle. God is love. God is, but I have trouble even liking some of these people. No, not you guys. Because we're all in this together. It's those people out there, right? Do you have that struggle? Do you struggle with that like I do? And God says, no, I love those people. I don't just... It's not a matter of like. I love those people. I created those people. I gave them my breath. My son died for the sins of those people. Just like Christ died for me. While I was yet a sinner, while I was a mess up, Christ died for me. And for every sin that I have yet to commit, not that I'm looking forward to it, but I know it's going to happen. Christ died for me. And Christ died for you. How do we share that love that we're experiencing? That once you're in, right? Once you're in, once you know God's love in your life and that relationship, everything is different. But we forget often, and those of us who have been raised within Christian homes, and if you're like me, I've never known a time that Jesus did not exist in my life. Never. I was raised in a loving Christian home. I've had every blessing you can imagine. I don't know a time without Jesus Christ in my life. May have rebelled, may have fallen, may have struggled with that relationship, but he's always been there. And so for me to say, you need Jesus in your life is, I don't know anything else, but I do know that in, 48,000 people live here in Belleville? How many go to church? And I'm not even talking here, which is the best, and Victoria Baptist, which is very close to being as good as we are, right? And the Pentecostals and the Presbyterians and the Christian Reformed and the Anglican and the Catholic. Anywhere where they say Jesus is Lord, to take that whole group of people out of the 48,000, how many are left? It's probably closer to that than it is to 40, right? How many people haven't heard, and even if they have heard, have never met the Jesus that is Lord of your and my life, that have never met God the Father who sent His Son because He loved them. How many people here locally? How many people within a 5-minute walk of these doors have not heard? Or if having heard, have not believed because they haven't met the love of God? And if they hear and they want to learn more and they come through these doors, what's going to happen? What's going to happen when they walk through these doors? What happens if, one of you go out there and actually share the love of Jesus Christ with somebody that's an alcoholic or a drug dealer or a street person and they come here? And they walk through that door. Is it only God's love that's going to greet them? Or is it going to be our love? Is it going to be God's love through us? That's hard. Don't get me wrong. I struggle with that. I struggle with that. And you going forward, from today forward, may struggle with that also. Things to remember. God loved the world. He created them in His image, in His likeness, male and female, every single human being. And let's love them for that reason alone. Not because they look like us, not because they act like us, not because they sin like us, not because they're forgiven like us, but because God loves them. And so let us love our neighbor, the 48,000 some odd people in this community. Let's start there.